Okay, want to of course thank Moshe Platt and Chapanash for sponsoring the Charlton Kugel. Okay, so I want to go through some Hilchos Purim Be'ezus Hashem. We're going to talk about three different points. We'll see if we have time for all three. Totally unrelated. One is about reading your Chumash along with the Baal Kori who's reading his Megillah. The second point will be about Aseres Bnei Haman. The third point will be about Matano, eating before Matano Slav Yonah Mashalach Manos, and maybe we'll talk about sending Mashalach Manos through the schools and organizations and shuls, but not actually giving your own. We'll talk about that maybe at the end. So let's start with point number one. If you look in the first source, the Shulchan Aruch paskins a halacha that applies to every single person who doesn't have their own Megillah, and that is that if somebody is not doesn't have their own Megillah, they're holding a Chumash, or a safer Megillah without the actual, not a real Megillah. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Purim, Siman Tafresh Tzadi Siv Dalid, Misha Tofes Biado Megillah She'ena Kshera, you're holding a Chumash, let's say, Lo Yikra Im Shliach Tzibur El Shomeh V'Shosek. Just watch with your eyes, do not read along with the Baal Kore. A lot of times people want to read along because it helps them focus and the like. But no, you should just watch with your eyes. Says the Rama, V'chein lo yiseya shem adam al pen al ha-chazen. Nobody should, murmur to the chazen with his own mouth because he's not reading it from inside a Megillah. And therefore, of course, you have to repeat those. We don't have to go into that right now. So why is it that you're not supposed to read along with the chazen? Why is it they're not supposed to read along? So comes Magen Avraham, commenting on this line of the Shulchan Aruch, and says, you know why you shouldn't read along? Because maybe the guy sitting next to you will be listening to you instead of listening to the Baal Kore. D'shem yitin ha-shamea libo lezeh ha-kore v'lo l'shliach tzibur, quoting the Beis Yosef, which we'll see inside in a moment. That reason, if you just take that reason that we're worried that the guy sitting next to you might listen to you, and you're not going to be listening to the chazen because you listen to the guy next to you, right? Let's say you like the chazen's voice better. So you have a seat next to the chazen. He's Israeli. He knows how to say the words properly. He has a nice voice. And you'd rather listen to him than listen to the Baal Kore. So therefore, the chazen has to make sure if he's not learning from a Megillah, he should not say it out loud. Says the Magen Avraham, if that's the case, if that Beis Yosef is correct, that means that to mashma duhu hatzmo yachol lishma lahashliach tzibur afal pisha korei. That means that if you're sitting, the only problem is that somebody else will listen to the wrong person. But there's nothing really wrong with you reading along in your chumash, listening to the Baal Kore, meaning, if there was an essential problem, a fundamental problem, that you're not Yotze, if you read from a Chumash, while the Baal Kori is laying the Megillah, we should have said that. But we didn't say that. We didn't say that you shouldn't read along because you don't have a Megillah. We just say, don't read along if you don't have a Megillah because somebody else might be listening to you and not be Yotze with the right person because he's going to be Yotze with you.
Why should the other person go ahead and lose concentration of the Shliach Tzibur, and not you, if you're going to be. It should be equal.
Yeah. It seems that the only problem is that somebody else will listen to the wrong person. But if you, oh no, because the other person is being silent. So he's listening to somebody. He might listen to the wrong person. You have in mind to be Yotze with Shliach Tzibur. You just want to read along. It sounds, Magen Avraham says, it sounds like it is kosher. So we're coming out with maybe a little bit of a kula. Magen Avraham is coming out that if you don't have this problem, for example, you're reading really, really silently. You're reading really quietly, and no one else could hear you. So you don't have that chumrah that the Beis Yosef said that, oh, someone else will listen to you instead of the real Shliach Tzi, the real Baal Kore, right? Yeah. It sounds like you are Yotze if you read yourself.
If you do it quietly, he's not going to hear you, the next guy.
Yeah, so if you do it very quietly, he won't hear you. It sounds like Mekaretin, you would be Yotze, which is not like the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, right? The Shulchan Aruch says, don't do it. Shulchan Aruch says, if you don't have a Megillah, don't read it yourself. And the Magen Avraham comes out that it depends on the case.
What would be the halacha of Shnai Mikveh Targum? Can you read along? Shnai Mikveh Targum?
So let's look at our source number three. I want to raise a question. The Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham explained that the problem with you saying, reading along with your chumash, along with the Baal Korei, reading with your chumash, the problem is that somebody will listen to you and not to the Shliach Tzibur. Now, can I ask you a question? Why can't he listen to both of you? We're worried that the listener, the guy sitting next to you, right? I'm sitting with my chumash. I have a beautiful voice. I'm going to lay, and the guy sitting next to me might listen to me instead of the Baal Korei with the Megillah. Maybe he'll listen to both. So you say you don't have. You don't listen to. You can. Shnei kolot. Right? You don't hear. So he's not going to hear anything. He's not going to be yotzei. Well, that doesn't work. Because look at source number three. The Gemara says that when it comes to when they used to have a meturgaman for the Kriyas HaTorah, Tanya Zak the Brice and Rosh Hashanah of Zion, Betorah, Echad Kore Vechad Metargame. You should only have one Baal Kore and one person translating into Aramaic. Uvilvat, right, of course, not simultaneous, but one after the other. Uvilvat Shalom Yehe Echad Kore Shnai Metargame. You shouldn't have two Metargamen. And then the Brice continues. Behalav and Megillah, afilu asarakar. When it comes to halal and Megillah, then you could have multiple people saying it simultaneously. Why? Alma came the chaviv yoiv daite. Megillah and halal, we don't care about halal right now, but Megillah is something that people are excited about, are enthusiastic about, and therefore they will pay attention even if there are multiple voices. So if that's the case, Rabbi Osai, we have a tremendous question. If that's the case, that people listen to multiple readers, multiple speakers during a Megillah, so even if I do read along with the Chazan, with the Baal Korei, and the guy sitting next to me is listening to my voice out of the Chumash and the Chazan's voice out of the Megillah, he should still be Yotzei. So we're back to square one. Why can't I read along with the Chazan? You're worried. Oh, the Magen Rav said we're worried that you're going to listen to the wrong person. You listen to the guy sitting next to you and not the Chazan. You can listen to both. What's the problem?
You only hear one of them at that second. Give me one word. Confusing.
I don't know. We don't say that you have to be not confused. You just have to hear it with your ears. You heard it with your ears. So if you look at the Magen Avraham actually did it. When the Magen Avraham said that we're worried you're going to listen to the wrong guy, he didn't say it on his own. He quoted, if you look in source number two, the Magen Avraham quoted in the parentheses the Beis Yosef. Let's look at the Beis Yosef inside. And when we look at it inside, we'll have a little bit of a better perspective of what the real reason why you're not allowed to read along with the Baal Korei. Says Beis Yosef, he quotes a Rashba in the Tshuva. Beis Yosef in Siman Tov Reish Tzadi quotes the Rashba, Kosev HaRashba Tshuva. Tshuva's HaRashba says the following. Ani Omer, Shekolt Shetofis B'yod HaMegillah She'en HaKshir Likras Ba. If you're holding a Chumash, an unkosher Megillah, a non-kosher Megillah, Perish Likras Ba Yim Shliach Tzibur, Griya Tuva Mishnai Shekaru Asa. It's worse. Oh, he's saying it's not just like two people are laning, which, oh, I could theoretically hear that because it's chaviv. No, when two people are laning, when you're laning your chumash and the Baal Korei is laning his Megillah, it's worse than two people reading something. A listener, that third person is listening, is worse off. Why? I think it means because the person who's listening is going to listen only to the wrong person, the guy with the Megillah Psula. Meaning, if I want to listen to multiple people at the same time, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah taught me that since Megillah is something that's Chaviv, yes, it's true, you could listen to multiple people at the same time. But if you are a Bedavka who want to listen to the wrong one, then it's going to be a problem. Meaning, if there are three people all laning a Megillah simultaneously, from a Kasher Megillah, are you Yotzei? Mm-hmm. Well, when it would come to anything else, you wouldn't be Yotzei. But by Megillah, since it's Chaviv, you are Yotzei. Right. That's if they're all laning from a proper Megillah. But if there are two people, one's laning from Megillah, one's laning from one that's not kosher, we worry that you might listen to the one that's not kosher. And that's the problem.
And that's the one word, not that you cuff under the whole Megillah. But you can wind up hearing one word in the first one word.
I think you're saying it differently. No. Maybe that's what you said. If he has his own Megillah, and it happens to be not kosher, but being that he's laying in the Megillah, he thinks he actually has a Megillah, and therefore he's going to take his Kriya as the one that predominates. And it doesn't seem that
way. What do you mean he sings? He knows what he has. He knows if he has a chumash, he has a
Megillah. But once he gets lost into the kriya of the Megillah, he doesn't realize that.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
You know you're not going to be able to be your chumash.
Right.
So let's see. That's the Mishnah Brura adds another facet to this equation. He quotes what we just said, but he says the following. Says Mishnah Berurah in Shemitah Tafresh Tzad, he says, you shouldn't read along in, from your Chumash, Deshem, because maybe somebody who listen will listen to you and not to the Baal Koreh. And then he says, L'fi tam zeh, im Koreh rak la'adam echad. Ooh. Let's say somebody's not feeling well. They're staying home. So you're going to volunteer, you're a good Baal Koreh, you're going to go to their house, and you'll take your Kashrut Megillah and you'll lay in for them in their house. Are they allowed to read along? What did we say the whole problem was? The whole problem was that a third person who's listening to the two readings, one from a Kashrut Megillah, one from a Chumash, will listen to the wrong one. Well, hey, if there's no third person there at all, it's just the Baal Koreh and the listener, it should come out that it's entirely permitted for the listener. Sometimes it helps the person focus better. Right? If I had my druthers, if it was up to me, I would love to read along with the Baal Koreh. Why? Because I'm going to focus better. I'm going to listen better. Ah, says the Mishnah Berurah, according to this rationale, if it's just the Baal Koreh reading for one person, one sick person, for example, it should come out that there is no third person who's going to get confused, listen to the wrong one, and it should be Taka Mutter.
Maybe he's reading from a Chumash.
Correct, to read along.
From Megillah.
Yeah, he's listening to the guy from the Megillah, and he's reading along.
Yeah, but you'll hear some things that you're saying, but you're not going to hear him in one word.
Again, what was the problem? The problem was that you're going to listen to, that a third party will listen to the wrong one.
No,
so let's make a diuk. That means that there's nothing wrong with you reading it along. The problem is only somebody else will be listening and be mechaving to the wrong one.
No, I hear that, but there's still a problem though. Maybe you won't
you're making that up. You're entitled, but that's not what the Magen Avraham says. That's not what the Beis Yosef says.
Why is that a problem?
Okay, now we could think, okay, that could be a different problem.
One word.
Right, but apparently that they're not worried about.
Make it your business not to miss the one word. That's all.
You could accidentally do that.
You could accidentally miss it when you listen.
If you're listening to a choir of Baalei Koreh, all from Kashrut Megillahs, it's mutter.
Yeah, but because it doesn't make a difference which one you're listening to.
Yeah, anyone you heard is fine.
They're coming from a kosher club.
But you can't, if there are two voices,
and one is kosher and one is...
distinguish one voice for the entire Megillah.
I don't know if you have to, but if one is going to be from a
Megillah... If it's a combination of what you heard...
It could be you'll be mechaving to the wrong one. Okay, I'm not sure. Maybe you'll be mechaving to the wrong. You're mechaving to the guy who has the better ivra, right? He's sitting next to the chazm. He's the better ivra. But I'm sorry, he's not a lady from Megillah. That's going to be a problem.
Why isn't anybody bringing the problem? Miss a word or two.
So hold on. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Says the Mishnah Berurah. I have another reason, not like we saw in the Magen Avraham in the Beis Yosef. I have another reason why you should not read along with the Baal Koreh. Look at the second paragraph in the Mishnah Berurah, source number 5. Aval yesh machmir b'chol gavnei. Maybe the problem is lefisha nosein daita b'kriyaso, that if you, even if you're alone with the Baal Koreh, no one else is there, there's no third person there, it's just you listening to the Baal Koreh, you might focus on what? You might focus on your own, what you're doing, and not on what's being read in the Megillah. Lefisha nosein daita b'kriyaso ve'enu mashgiach l'mash amra shleach tzibur. You're going to get distracted by what you're learning, and you're going to get this, I don't know, you're going to lose your place, and you're not going to follow what the Baal Koreh is saying, and therefore, even if you, it's just you and the Chazan himself, you should be Machmir. Now I don't know how strong this is. There's no source in anywhere for this.
But isn't it logical? You can miss one thing.
No problem, maybe.
How would this correspond to, let's say, Shabbos, a lady, a regular lady from the Pasha? Somebody wants to go ahead quietly.
Excellent question.
That's what I'm saying.
So, I didn't want to get into that, but the halacha is explicit. The halacha is explicit that if you hear, during Kriyas HaTorah, somebody saying along, you're supposed to say, shh. You're supposed to be Megayarba. You're supposed to, I'll tell you a story. It's very embarrassing. I was in Eretz Yisrael in a certain yeshiva. But she was a big Talmud Chacham. And I was in my own little world. I was, I guess, 18, 19 years old, really on fire, doing my Shtayim, probably just having started, you know, getting into my Shtayim Mikra. And I was reading along, and I was didn't even realize the Rosh Yeshiva. I was standing that far from the Rosh Yeshiva, and he was saying, shh, shh, shh. The whole, like, for like seven times, I didn't even realize he was talking to me. Because I thought I was doing the right thing. I was reading along. But he was doing what the poskim say. You're supposed to be goer. You're supposed to stop somebody who's reading along. So sometimes it happens. You hear people in shul reading along. You're supposed to tell them, shh. They're not supposed to do that.
Can you be yotze if you're on this corner of the shul and nobody has you, and you're using that as one of your shtayim mikvah?
So, lichat chila, in hilchos shtayim mikvah v'chatagim, it is better to not do that. But if you're going to be pressed for time and you're not going to do shtayim mikvah properly, then it is permitted to read along with the Baal Kori, and that counts as one of them. So you only have to read one time on your own with Rashi. Yeah, that's what I also do.
You shouldn't do that.
You have to do it very quietly. Yeah, do it quietly. Yeah, I also do that, because just time. Could be. Okay, that's the end of that piece. Fine, so halacha lemaisa, if you have your own Megillah, if you have your own Chumash, don't read along. Listen to the Baal Kori for whatever reason. Next point. This is more less of a halacha, practical halacha,
well,
but more lamdas.
What happens if somebody has a kashem Megillah?
Then it sounds from the Shulchan Aruch that it should be
quiet.
Fine.
If he's quiet,
it doesn't make a difference. No, it doesn't make a difference. No, you could be loud as you want. Because what's the worst comes to worst? He'll hear both of you?
Right.
You two voices are yes heard when it comes to Megillah.
No, there's another problem. He might hear certain words from this guy next to him better than that one, so he doesn't really hear that for a word, and if he's not hearing the whole Megillah being read from a kosher, a thing that he somebody wants to be motzi me in, because he's only doing for himself.
Oh, yeah, that could be. If you listen to somebody else who's not going to have kavanah to be motzi, yeah, that could be a problem. That's true. Yeah. If you don't have kavanah to be motzi. Right. Okay, a totally new point, and this is a very geschmacka piece of lamdas, which I have said in different contexts. I get to say this piece of lamdas in different times. You'll see why. Aseres B'nei Haman. So we know that two things are special about Aseres B'nei Haman. Number one, the Baal Kori reads them B'Neshima Achas. And number two, it's one of the psukim that we say out loud. What's the reason that we repeat it out loud? Let's see what the Aruch HaShulchan says. The Aruch HaShulchan says that there are a number of psukim that we read out loud. Ish Yehudi, Mordechai Yatza, Laihudim Haisaora, Ki Mordechai Yehudi. Those are four psukim, right? Those are the four psukim that you're supposed to read out loud. Why? Well, we'll see in a minute. But the Aruch HaShulchan counts a fifth pasuk. V'gav chamesh milas ish v'ad aseres b'nei Haman v'aseres b'chal. Omrim hatzibur. Why do the tzibur say all these five psukim out loud? Because mishun debezeh have a ikar ha'yeshua. These five psukim represent the primary yeshua that happened in the Megillah. Is this a Gemara? Are they supposed to say these psukim? Anyone learn Megillah recently? Is it a Gemara that says you're supposed to say these four psukim? I don't recall. Anyway, it's not four psukim. He quotes five psukim. He includes the pasuk of Chamesh Meos Ish Ves Parshan Danta Ves Dalfon Ves Adalion Ves. Okay. Look at the next source. The next source is just background that we all know. And it says, the Shulchan Aruch Tafer Sadi Tzimit Tazvav says that when you say Aseres B'nei Haman, based on the Gemara, you're supposed to say Hakol B'Neshima Achas. Why? To teach you a historical fact. Lo'odiyah Shekulam Ne'ergo V'Nislu Ke'echad. They're all hung at the same time, simultaneously, on the same tree. Like the Gemara says, they're all hung at the same time. Now, there's a question if you should say Aseres B'nei Haman yourself or not. Let me step back. I want to ask you a question that's nothing to do with Megillah, nothing to do with Purim, but the following. Olam d'shachakira. We have a din called Shamea Ka'ona. In the din of Shamea Ka'ona, does that mean that he says words, and I'm Yotze, what he said, I'm Yotze. That's A. Or B, When he says the words, it's as though I said those words. Okay, let me give you some examples. There's a gigantic question when it comes to Birchas Kohanim. Birchas Kohanim, do we use say Shomei Kohanim by Birchas Kohanim? Let's say, for example, Mr. Wilmaski has a beautiful voice. A beautiful voice. My father's shul in Flatbush, there was an elderly Kohen who had the worst voice in the world. Mamish, tone deaf, half deaf, forget about tone deaf, he was deaf.
There's a code like that in every
crowd. No, mom's worse. Like I've never heard before.
Yeah, you weren't in this
like
school.
I never heard before. And he's a relative. Be careful. He's relative.
Are you a coach? Oh, you are also.
So this Kohen had an absolutely terrible voice. And we had a solution. The solution was say to him very nicely and gently, you know what? Stand up there. Put your hands up, take off your shoes, put on your fancy socks, but just keep your mouth shut. And the guy next to you, Mr. Wilimowski, for example, has a beautiful, rich, robust Kohen voice, and he'll say, he'll do the Shomei Kohen. So that sounds great, right? Shomei Kohen works in Kol HaTorah Kula. So it should work.
Just
so here, no, because you have to say it, but Kol Ram. So the issue that Mr. Wilimowski raises, this issue that the poskim discuss, is that besides the din that you have to say that Yivrecha Hashem Yishmerecha, there's a separate halacha that it has to be b'kol rav. So the question is, does Shomei Ka'ona make it, listen carefully to the Chakira, does Shomei Ka'ona make it that instead of me saying the words, it's his use of the words? Well, that's not enough. It's not enough that when Mr. Wilimowski says Yivrecha, the other guy also said Yivrecha, because that's not enough to be out to the din. You have to have the component of Kol Ram. So Shomei Ka'ona could make it like you, this guy with the bad voice, is saying the words Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha, but he's not also enabling the guy who's being silent to fulfill the din of Kol Ram. Or do we say that Shomei Ka'ona makes it that the speaker, whatever the speaker is doing, that you take it and you transpose it on the guy who's being silent. If Mr. Wilimowski is saying Yivarecha and he's doing Kol Ram, we take that whole unit, that whole combined unit of Yivarecha with Kol Ram, and put it on the silent person and saying it's as though the silent person is saying the words and he's doing it with Kol Ram. That's the question. What is the parameter of Shomei Ka'ona?
The idea of Kol Ram is that the listener should hear you. Now, if you're Shomei Ka'ona, but he can't hear you, that's not Kol Ram. He could hear the other guy, but he can't hear
you're
you.
You're Dashin and Taima Dikra. I like your Svara. You might be right, and you might not be right. I don't know. The Torah says Omar, which teaches us that it has to be B'kol Ram. I don't know why the Torah said it. I'm not God. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're not right. I don't know. You might be right. Don't know.
I don't think anyone.
But I'm not Dashin and Taima Dikra.
Infer Brahma to somebody requires. That's where the din of Kol Ram comes.
No, it comes from Omar. Doesn't it come from Omar? Yeah? I like your machshavas. But before you pass it on the machshavas, we have to know that that's...
I don't think in such a hub, I mean, it's not magic. You can't go ahead and say that Shomei Ka'ona Pshat is that the one who hears it is now speaking. He's not speaking. Not about
Shomei Ka'ona.
It means something else. That it means that if I'm Shomei and I have a chiyuv of saying it, as if I said it, but I didn't say it, or pshat is no, I don't have to say it. The fact that I'm Shemeya, I'm Yaitzen. But no one's going to say that if you need Kol Ram, then he has to do Kol Ram.
Okay, next. I'll give you another example that you might like. Okay, next case. Next case.
So the one in your Shemeya, you don't have to answer.
It doesn't say Shemeya.
It's different than you end up answering Amen.
That could be true. Amen might be an added dimension. Next case, Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer. Could the rabbi or anyone else be motzi somebody else, not just for the bracha, but also on the counting itself? Why not? The rabbi says, Hayom Yom Echad LaOmer. So if you listen, I have Kavan Alahotzi, you have Kavan Alatzeis. So sounds good. It says, though you said Hayom Yom Echad LaOmer. But maybe, Bamor doesn't hold like this, but maybe one can argue that in Sfiras HaOmer, but it's not a din to say words, Hayom Yom Echad HaOmer, you also have to do a counting. A counting is a what? It's not words coming out of your mouth. There's a mental, something happens, you counted. You did a Sfira. It's not that you said words. When you say words, Shomek Ona Kamek, his words count as though you said, I shouldn't say the words. His words are considered as though you said words. But maybe by Sfiras HaOmer, you have to have more than just you're saying the words. You have to have accounting. And even if I listen quietly and I'm Yotzi with the guy who said, the rabbi, for example, who said Hayom Yom Echad LaOmer, it's as though I said those words, but I didn't do a counting, a Sfira. Or do we say no? Shomei Ka'ona makes it that whatever he did, it's as though you listened, it's as though you did, as though you not only said Yom Echad LaOmer, it's also as though you counted. That's the same Chakira. It might be connected to that machlokas. Right, it might be telling that machlokas. It could be telling that machlokas. Possibly. We do a pshara between the two. Well, listen to what the Ragachavar said. There's the Ragachavar Gaon's Chiddush that is quoted here in Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank's Hartzvi. The Ragachavar in the last paragraph says an incredible vart. He says a beautiful vart. You can say this over at your Perm Suda. We asked, why do you have to say Aseres B'nei Haman out loud? So Aruch HaShulchan says, well, it's one of the five famous psukim of Yeshua. Says the Ragachavar, absolutely not. There are only four psukim of Yeshua. You know why you have to say Aseres B'nei Haman? Why everyone in the Tzibah says Aseres B'nei Haman? Because we saw there's a halacha that Aseres B'nei Haman has to be B'neshima Achas. When you're listening to the Baal Koreh, Lane, what are you doing? You're having in mind that what he says, you're being Yotze. That's what Kriyas HaMegillah is. The Baal Koreh says Aseres B'nei Haman, you're Yotze. The Baal Koreh says, I'm sorry, Vayihi B'mei Achashverosh Hu Achashverosh HaMelech Mehod V'ad Kush, it's as though you said from a Megillah, Vayihi B'mei Achashverosh Hu Achashverosh HaMelech Mehod V'ad Kush. But what can Shomei Ka'ona not do? It can't fulfill the din of Neshima Achas. And therefore, every person has to fulfill that din of Neshima Achas on their own. And therefore, says the Ragachavar Gaon, the reason why everybody in the shul has the Shulchan Aruch Paskin has to say Aseres B'nei Haman themselves is to fulfill the din of Neshima Achas. Because that Shomei Ka'ona doesn't have the capacity to do. Shomei Ka'ona only makes it, he says it, says, oh, you said it. But it doesn't take the way he said it. The way the Chazan said that, the Chazan said Shomei Ka'ona, it makes it Shomei Ka'ona, I'm sorry, his Neshima Achas doesn't make it as though your Amir is Shomei, is B'Neshima Achas. It just makes it. He said it, you said it. But that added din, that added underlying din of Neshima Achas can't be transposed, can't be transferred via Shomei Ka'ona. And that's why you, the listener, and every person in the shul, has to say the pasuk himself, B'Neshima Achas, because that is necessary to be Yotzi, the din of Neshima Achas. You hear that? Then according to the Ragachavar Gaon, there's no point in you saying the pasuk. The whole point of you saying the pasuk, according to the Ragachavar, is only so that you could say it b'neshima achas. It's not ma'akeh, but it's the din of the Shulchan Aruch. But that's the point. That's according to the Ragachavar Gaon. That's the again. The Aruch HaShulchan said no. The Aruch HaShulchan had a totally different way of understanding why you say that pasuk. It's just one of the happy psukim, just like the other psukim we read in addition to the Chazrini, because it's a happy pasuk. We want to all celebrate this, you know, pasuk of the Yeshua, this turning point, this Yeshua pasuk. Fine. That was a shtickle Torah that I just shared with you from Tzvi Pesach Frank in his Shas Shuvas Har Tzvi and Or HaChaim Chelek Aleph Simon Chanun Zayin, who talks about this Ragachavar and who talks about Birchas Kohanim. That's a Lam Lishu point. Period. Now let's go towards the finish line with another question. We know that you're not supposed to eat before you do a mitzvah. Whenever there's a mitzvah that sets in, you're supposed to do the mitzvah that you have to do without eating before you do the mitzvah. Just like we see by Sfiras, you're not supposed to eat before Sfiras HaOmer, you're not supposed to eat before you bench the Levin Esrog, you're not supposed to eat before you daven Mar, you say Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. What? Hadlak is Neros Chanukah, 100% correct.
How much time before can't you?
Once this man comes.
can't eat and then wait and then do it after?
I don't understand. What?
Eat, wait.
No, once this man from mitzvah comes, you're not supposed to, you're not allowed to eat. Once the chiyuv comes, you're not allowed to eat. Right, so like...
But you have time to say to do the chiyuv in the half, you can do it the next half hour.
Again, when time for hadlakas neres Hanukkah, you're not allowed to eat until you do the hadlaka. Once the zman hadlaka comes, you're not allowed to eat. Similarly, in the morning, if you haven't done the lulav, you're not supposed to eat before you do lulav. If you haven't done tefillin, you're not supposed to eat before you do the mitzvah tefillin. That's the hadlaka with all mitzvahs that apply at a certain time. What?
You can nash before you light Hanukkah candles. You just can't eat kaber
suda. That is correct. You could have a te'ima. You can have a small te'imas arai, yeah.
So the Rav is saying that since the zman is first thing in the morning, you absolutely cannot have breakfast or anything until you've done it.
That's our question. But let's not be so harsh, because let's say you went to shul, you heard Megillah, and now it's 10 o'clock in the morning, now you want to eat breakfast before you get into Mishloach Manos gear. It's a whole thing. You have to pack up the car, you have to get the list from your wife, you have to make sure all the last things, you have to fix your costume. It's going to take, and then you're going to be out for 3 hours. So you want to eat before you go. Can you eat before you go?
I mean, it doesn't seem like you're shy with children.
Why not? Because you have a mitzvah to do. You're not allowed to eat when you have a chiyuv to do that, then that's man.
I'm saying, it doesn't look like the shiloh over here is whether you can just, nibble something if you're hungry.
Right, that's what he mentioned before, that a little tiny snack would be okay. But breakfast,
you eat a meal,
breakfast is a problem. Breakfast, if you have a bowl of cereal, that's a kibetz of mizonos, that's a problem. Are you allowed to have a bowl of cereal, a bowl of Wheaties, outside of the sukkah? No.
Outside the sukkah?
Correct, outside the sukkah.
No.
No, why not? Because it's an achilas. Ah, exactly. It's an achilas kvias, right. So a bowl of cereal, a bowl of Wheaties, a raisin bran, you're not allowed to eat outside the sukkah, you're not allowed to eat before...
Well, you can't eat before mincha.
In the afternoon, okay, if you don't have a set time, we're not going to get into it now, but right.
But you can do these things later.
No.
Any of these mixes you can do later. You know,
so it doesn't work, it doesn't matter. Bedikas chametz. Once it's my bedikas chametz comes, you're not allowed to eat. Once it's time of Zman of Hadlakas Neres Chanukah comes, you're not allowed to eat.
It's incentive to do it on time as early as possible. We shouldn't forget.
Because we don't want you to become involved in the eating and forget. So that's the question that Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein raises in his Sefer Chashukei Chemed. Ha'im mutar le'achol kodem mishloach manos. So you could really go in a lot of directions here. There's a lot of svaras that you could say. So he quotes his shver. Who's his shver? Rav Yashiv. Mori v'chame maran hagan Rabbi Yosef Shomel Yashar Shlita, unfortunately now it's Zatzal, said that it's mutter. And he gives two reasons why this mitzvah, Mishloach Manos, is different than all the other mitzvos where it is prohibited to eat before you fulfill the mitzvah. Number one, eating itself is the same mitzvah, no different than the mitzvah Mishloach Manos and Matan Zavyonim. It's one of the mitzvahs Hayom, it's Suda. So that's what he says. Gama Suda Yachas mitzvah Hayom. Any eating that you do, if you have a chocolate bar at 9:30 in the morning, I don't know how you guys are, but when the first thing that I usually eat on Purim day is milchka chocolate. That's my favorite part of any Mishloach Manos is the milk chocolate that we get. So I'm not interested in having raisin bran who wants raisin bran on Purim when you can have like good stuff. So that's, guess what? That's also Suda's Purim. And Madua Adifa Mitzvah Mishloach Manos, Mitzvah Suda's Purim. Why do you have to do Mishloach Manos before Suda's Purim? Have your chocolate bar first, or your cake first before your whatever you want to eat before your. That's also no less than the Mitzvah Mishloach Manos. Secondly, Heyos Vaharagila Sushi Zeshalech Lezev Zelezev. The way Purim works is I send to you, you send to me, I go to your house, you come to my house. So what's the whole concern? Why are you not allowed to eat before you do a mitzvah? Because you're going to
forget.
Well, if people are knocking on your door and you are going to be sent to other people, and if not, then at least people will be knocking on your door, so you're going to be reminded. And therefore, it's like you have a shomer. It's the same idea of having a shomer before to remind you to do a mitzvah. That should be the problem. So to solve the problem, what?
You may not get. If you have two, three guys on a block,
two of them.
Okay, it's possible. There are some people who don't get any mishloach manos, but most people do get a mishloach manos over the course of a parable.
I mean, I didn't realize that was the reason. I thought the reason was Mr. Poliyatsky helped like we said.
No, the reason is that you might become oiske. What's the word? Arois. Farnamen. Farnamen.
If you prepared yourself manos, you're going to give it out. You're not going to.
Right. Right. That's true. That's true. Right. Right. Very good. And then he quotes the Shas of Mishnah Halachas, and there's Rav Menashe HaKotan Klein, if Mishnah Halachas is Menashe HaKotan Klein, I think, who gives two other svaras. The first one he gives is really gishmak. What does the pasuk say? Mishteh v'simcha u'mashloach monos ish l'ri'ehu. What's the order of the pasuk? The order of the pasuk, the Torah is telling, what's the order? The Torah says Mishteh is first. So of course, do Mishteh first. Finally, oh, a very lamdish svara. I think it's a beautiful svara. What's the whole reason for mishloach manos? Why is there a mitzvah mishloach manos? So this is machlokas rishonim, actually. One opinion says, in one of the opinions, actually, of the achronim, Shlomo Al-Kabetz, the author of L'chadodi, in his sefer, Manos HaLevi, suggests that the point of mishloach manos is to just be mar ba'achva v'reyus. But the Chumash Hadeshin says no, it's to make sure that every Jew has food for their Purim Suda. That's what Chumash Hadeshin says, right? According to Chumash Hadeshin, you can't just send a Mike and Ike and a Snickers bar. Send something for a Suda. That's the proper way to send the Mishloach Manos, at least one. That's what the Chumash Hadeshin says. So if that's the case, if the whole purpose of Mishloach Manos is to... What was our question? Are you allowed to do Mishloach Manos before you eat? Hello? What's the whole point of Mishloach Manos? To make sure that people have food to eat. So what do you want to do? You want to eat? Well, the whole purpose of Mishloach Manos is to make sure you have this food to eat. You want to eat? Go ahead. Of course. Of course you could eat first. Because the eating is the whole goal of the Mishloach Manos. Look how he says, Atash Mishloach Manos, Mishum Sh'ein Lo Chavir Suda. Yishloach Manos. Okay, that's a little bit different. See, he's saying a different svara, that if you're able to eat first, then you'll be in a better mood, you'll give more properly. That's the svara that he says. But
in fact, he didn't give him a Matanis Avyonim, but the rav goes around, let's say, 5 o'clock, finding out Matanis Avyonim. He hadn't dispensed the money yet.
So the svara that we saw earlier, that the pasuk says, Mishteh first, answers the question. The svara that we said earlier from Eliyashiv, that Su'udah is also a Mitzvah Sayom, answers the question. Those two answers the sort of still work, even from Matan Saviyana. Okay, that's in that point. Let's finish off the shir just with something very halach lemaisa. Many shuls and schools and businesses have online mishloach manos. You want to send mishloach manos to somebody, so send in, you know, $15 or $50 for the whole all the rebbeim. And the school will send you a mishloach manos to so-and-so, to the rebbeim from the school, and your name will be on a list. And this happens a week or 2 weeks before Purim. You pay your 20, 50, whatever the money is before Purim, and it's delivered on Purim. So are you yotze with that? So says the Rebbe Shlomo Zalman in Halicha Shlomo, page 337, mishloach manos hanasa yidei ba'alei chanos, a store. Right, you ordered an online one of these, Purim.org. O Mosad v'chadoma apit tzivi hamishalech v'schayvusa l'shalim shivi hamanos yotzim b'al yidei chava. If you tell the person in the school, the shul, the ladies' auxiliary, the women's committee, or you tell the store owner or the Purim to go owner, yotzim b'al yidei chava. That's A. And similarly, even though there are numerous, sometimes the way it works with the yeshivas is you could have 20 people sign on to a mishloach manos that's given to the rebbeim. But there are three items in this. There's a bottle of wine, there's a box of cookie, a box of hamantaschen, and a nice bar of chocolate. But there are 20 people who signed on there. So you don't even have one item per person. You certainly don't have two items per person. Says Rosh Hashanah, Rishon, kama b'nei adam l'shloach manos b'shutfus. He says you do need the quantity of products to be two times the number of subscribers. So if you're going to have, what?
You need one bottle or like for a ruvias?
Two manos. What's a mana? Mana maybe is a whole bottle, might be a mana. Two items. Right? Well, no one says that you could give two hamintash to fulfill the din, right? Why? Because no one calls that two manos. Two different items. So no one's going to say a bottle of wine is two minim either. So you need two different things. So if you're going to have, sometimes they have, let's say Darche, for example, it's a gigantic school, and they have an option for $54. It was Darche Teg, I don't remember. I just saw it on my credit. My wife did it, but I just saw it on the credit card bill. So $54, and you get to send the Mishloach Manos to every faculty member in the whole school. There are 200 faculty members. Obviously, if you have enough, if you have 200 parents do this, 400 parents do this, it's going to, the school's, the ladies of Gzu is going to make it a mint.
Do you think people take this seriously that they're Mekayimish?
Okay, that's right, right. But okay, let's say. Right, of course. People are going to give separately. All right. But if they're going to give, if they're going to be 40 people, let's say there's a Rebbe and he has 30 kids in his class, and 15 of the kids signed up for this way of giving the Mishloach Manos, so there will need to be 30 items in the basket, which is usually not the case. So, in that sense, that's one tweak that will have to be tweaked by the ladies' auxiliaries of Klal Yisrael. Which be zocha to a freilichen Purim, a safe Purim, which be zocha to yotzi all the mitzvahs properly.